Radio Chelly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
19th day of May 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this might be a shortened O'Chelly Effect tonight. I'm not sure, because we're starting about 25 minutes late, according to my clock. If you're hearing us live on the 19th day of May 2023, that's a Friday night. Nearly just 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever, until 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. If you're hearing us live, you can call in and join us. And talk about whatever it is you want. I had a technical issue, and then I sat here talking to B. Pete for a minute, my co-host. And, about another 10 minutes. Could have started at about quarter after, but now I've started at about 25 after. And what the hell, man? It's Friday night. Let's have a decent time of it and express ourselves a bit. And you can join us. And how would you do that? By dialing in 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. That's the number to call. I don't even know if I'm in the chat room at O'Chelly.com. I'll try and get over there, but we do have a live chat as well. And if you don't want to do the phone thing, you can join us via Skype if you send me a message, charles.ocelli on Skype. Earlier today, Microsoft had updates, and I think that just screwed everything up. So, you know, maybe your computer isn't working either. Check your PC-based tablet. Maybe that's not working. God knows. Cell phone, your smartphone, your dumb phone, any of these stupid rectangles. If they're connected to Microsoft, you might have glitches in your programming. So it is what it is. It's Friars Day, Friday night, and we are live. So glad to have you along. And BP, how you doing tonight, man? I mean, I know we were already talking. We already kind of did the show, pre-show, without going live. Talking about some weird things, news and a crazy viral thing you saw, and how people get ripped off and how lawsuits actually go and all kinds of stuff we were talking about before we went live. And who knows, maybe we'll relive some of that. And I got a couple of announcements to make before we go any further. Captain Trips did threaten to call in tonight, but I think he went to sleep, so we won't be hearing from him. But again, love to hear from you. 319-527-5016, or reach me on Skype, charles.ocelli. Send me a message, and I'll call you into the show. B. Pete, how you doing, man? It's another Friday.
Yeah, it is another Friday, another week off the calendar, but it's been a good one. We had a slow day today. You know, it was nice and rainy, so we were able to take some time off from work and catch up on important things like sleep.
You got a little bit of sleep, huh?
Well, working nights, I mean, it's busting up my day so much. By Thursday, you don't know what day of the week it is.
Yeah, well, I've had an interesting time. I'll tell you, I've tried to get a few things done this week, a few stutter steps. Was the end of last week, actually. I was still dealing with the car issue. Thank God that thing's running now. Not dead in the driveway any longer. But, man, there was that ordeal, and some other weird stuff happened. But I got some happier news. Maybe I'll get into that shortly. But outside of that, I mean, you want to talk about the weather, or you just got up from your nap, so I don't know what's really on your mind as of yet.
I'm kind of wide open, but I don't know. I'm really, this has been, I watched TV and paid attention to the news this week. It's really kind of ticked me off. It's, we're going down the tubes quicker than anything can stop us. I mean, throwing the brakes on is not going to work. I just can't believe how dysfunctional our government has become and how much crap people are having to put up with. It's ridiculous.
Well, the government's dysfunctional. The courts are dysfunctional. It looks to me like people are dysfunctional. I was talking to a guy who used to be a regular guest on the show, who hasn't been on for a while, off air the other day, and I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, almost everybody, nearly, and I do mean like 99.9% of everybody that I seem to encounter, interact with, or whatever, I think we are all actually suffering from some some mental distress. You know, like everybody is. Everybody is to some degree. Now, some of us are more functional than others, but it just seems to me like there is a collective, I don't know, psychiatric problem among...
Well, because you can't... I think it's... I don't know if it's a psychiatric problem or it's just simply people's reaction to something that they can't get away from. You know, you imagine your worst relationship. We have a relationship with our government, with institutions that we deal with every day just to be able to get through life, from paying a power bill to shopping at the grocery store. Well, now it's getting to where you're having to put up with so much crap from every direction. I don't think it's a mental thing that people are going through or a psychological thing. I think they're getting fed up. They're just tired of the constant crap. There's no break.
Mm. Well, look, if you get some level of emotional exhaustion, I mean, that does kind of qualify as a mental disorder, doesn't it? I mean, you just kind of get exhausted emotionally. I mean, because, look, between the mechanic jerk that I had to deal with last week and, quite frankly, this week now I got my internet service provider somehow claiming that even though I pay my bill every month, that somehow I don't know why I owe him so much money all of a sudden. right? It's like I don't know what goes on with just things. It's like the ebb and flow of things is not normal, not natural. And it's, beyond the financial. The financial stress is one thing, right? The dysfunctional government, sure. Any agency you gotta deal with, any business you gotta deal with. See, but that's the thing, universally, it's all people, and if everybody, and I do mean everybody, is on some level kind of fed up, the way you put it, or mentally exhausted, or emotionally exhausted, it leaves us in a strange land, right? Where, you know, no matter where you're going to turn, you're going to be dealing with people that are not quite themselves, that are not quite, you know, fully operational, fully effective in their jobs, in their lives, in their communication, etc. By the way, I have joined Nature Boy via Skype. So I have joined one Skype caller so far, and the lines are open, 319-527-5016, or reach out to me, Charles Dottocelli, on Skype. So I have added Nature Boy in. Maybe he's got something to say about this exhaustion, this general condition we see the world in. What do you think, Nature Boy?
I don't even know where to start on that question, to be honest. But, yeah, I think there's a general exhaustion out there overall. I think the years of getting beaten down, and especially in the last few, the acceleration has really taken its toll on a lot of people. You know, it's been difficult for me, especially the COVID years, to kind of keep my head above water psychologically, but I was able to. But I feel as I'm one of the fortunate ones, man. But it's still a struggle every day, it seems like.
I mean, wouldn't you say, like, almost anybody you encounter is suffering some level of strain or stress that is affecting their performance one way or another, whether it's personal or it's professional or, you know, it's some simple job. It just seems to be everybody's affected in some way. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. There's no color in the world anymore. It's just getting more gray and gray by the day, I guess.
Mm. I think it's by design. I seriously do. I think it's all by design.
You think it's by design?
Too.
So we have an intentional sort of let's aggravate you enough so that you numb out kind of plan afoot.
Look at the number of young people, and you can see it. You can see it manifesting in children. It's gotten so pervasive. But look at the number of people that are on some type of medication to deal with some sort of emotional situation because of what they're going through. And when I say it's on every level, it's on absolutely every level of your life. There's something out there screwing with you.
Well, yeah, but see, that's why when you said government, I said, yeah, well, government and dysfunctional, okay, oxymoron. And for those of you who don't understand that, I'm not calling BP names here. What I'm saying is that, obviously, you know, it's like military intelligence, right? That was the old joke. Government and functional. There you go. That's they go together real well. Not at all. Anyway, yeah, but it's well beyond that, because it seems to me that and it's not just even a, okay, here's the affected portion of the population, right? They're on the psychotropic drugs and so on. No, I think it's, I don't know, universal. It just seems like the, and this is where, you know, obviously it looks a whole lot more intentional than anything when it's just so completely pervasive and invasive. I mean, it's everywhere. People are just messed up. I don't know. I don't even know what to call it at this point. So, you know, look, that's a general topic and we can kick that around for the rest of the night if you want, but we'll get into some particulars, I'm sure, before we get on to, you know, the stranger lands, cause you know, by the end of the show, something will go weird here and we'll be talking about something very odd. I mean, it could be Naked News, Nature Boy, right? It could be. Could be.
I can always scrounge up Naked News, man. That's an easy one.
There you go. Well, see what you can find there, because those are always entertaining. A couple announcements. Now, I do have the swag program is coming back, and I have hats already in hand for every show. Now, I don't have all the hats in hand yet, but here's the deal. They're only going to be one or two of a kind right now. So you get a hat. You can pick what show you want to support. If there's a favorite show on the network, you can have a Get Mad with Chris Graves hat. You can have a Age of Transitions hat, an Uncle the Broadcast or Uncle the Podcast hat, or an Ocelli Effect hat. And we have other swag. So here's the deal. I will choose other stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
There's no Friday Night Roundtable hat?
Well, this is just one of the Ocelli Effect shows, no? So, do we have a special logo? Not really. I mean, do you want your face on a hat, BP? Is that what you want?
No, I'd rather put, you know, somebody's hand flipping the bird in on the hat.
Oh, well, look, that could be arranged. I mean, there's possibilities to print a few, but as it stands right now, they're only one and two of a kind, because I went to different printers and engaged with them and got samples of one or two of each of the different hats. And I've gotten a variety of results here, okay? I've kind of done a tour of Asia, by the way, because getting these things printed in America is way too costly. And believe it or not, even working with online translators and everything else, it's kind of easier to communicate with people that don't even speak my language at this point to get it done. So, yeah, we have the hats, and you're guaranteed one of those if you chip in. And also other swag. So I've got a whole bunch of other stuff like mouse pads, got a couple of hoodies, got a couple of t-shirts, but everything is in limited run. So there's only a handful of each of these things, with the exception of I got some very nice metal ballpoint pens coming. Those things are really nice, and I have about 100 of those. But everything else is in very limited run here, one, two of a kind. So you could sport and support the show you like on the network and pick one of those hats from one of the shows. Is there a Friday night show hat? No. I don't really have any other separated day of the week that's kind of consistently one thing anymore, do I? But anyway, there's an Ocelli Effect hat, but go ahead.
I guess we're the anchor show.
It turned out that way. You know, that wasn't the design to begin with, but a lot of the other recurring shows have kind of gone differently, and we do have some interesting guests coming up, by the way. So going to be some brand new people that you definitely have never heard from before, and all that. But anyway, yeah, so randomly inserted along with your hat though is other swag. I've got a couple of decks of playing cards, but they are way too expensive to print en masse, so not really going to be adding those into the swag bag too much, although there will be a couple of them. I've got stickers, mouse pads, RFID protectors, actual bags. Yeah, pens. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I don't
That's
have...
That's a good idea. Just make up a mixture bag and for supporters, they can get their bling.
There you go. So the thing is, we're asking for $50. And if you drop in 50, you'll get a hat plus as a thank you. You're not really buying the swag. You're getting thank you gifts. So if you put in more, I'll obviously stuff your package more. Because, you know, the postage will get costly if I start stuffing these things way too much. But, you know, enough that I can keep something off of your 50 if I send you a hat plus. And if you send in more, like I said, you'll get more. And if you want more than one hat, let me know, too. We'll figure that out. So that's going to go on. And I definitely want to get people sending back in the pictures like they did last time. Either you wearing the hat, that's preferable. But somebody sent a squirrel wearing a hat. Somebody sent their kid wearing a hat. Somebody sent the hat on a pool table. Hey, wherever. Send in your pictures of your hats or you wearing your T-shirt or whatever else it is we send you. And we'll gladly share that around and, you know, show everybody what it is that you creatively did with your hat, okay? So that's what we're doing with that. Also, I recorded. Now, remember last week I had said I was going to be on a fairly large show? All right, so I recorded an episode of Strange Planet with Richard Serrett the other day. It was a video thing, and I really don't get comfortable with video, but tried it anyway, and apparently Mr. Serrett is going to bring me on Coast to Coast AM in November to discuss the JFK assassination. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. And you know the conference we're going to, BP? Got an interesting thing. It is being proposed at this point that I might be the MC of the conference. Oh, that will make it unique in and of itself, won't it, folks? So the Lancer Conference and me being on Coast to Coast AM at that time, and yeah, we may have to stop along somewhere if it turns out that we're scheduled, like, during travel time, BP, to, you know, find an internet connection so I can make sure to go on Coast to Coast, because can't miss that if I have the opportunity to go on, like, the biggest, you know, atypical radio show in the world, pretty much, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, just let me know dates. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, the date is not nailed down, but Richard Serrett said it, and I have a partial recording of the audio that I will release after Richard releases his episode of Strange Planet. I'm not sure what their production schedule is, but I'm really, really happy and pleased with that, and also with the swag program. Really happy about it. So far I've got about 15 hats in hand. So, most of them are Ocelli Effect, and, I think the majority of the rest of them are Uncle, but, I do have a couple of Get Mad hats and a couple of Age of Transition hats already. So those things are in hand and, available now. And I'll be putting out, graphics and stuff on social media to, alert people to it. And, there you go. $50 donation. So, that's the direction we're going in because commercial sponsors, we have one or two that might start in July, but we're gonna go the other route and have you guys support the network directly, and you'll be getting a thank you gift in return for it. So now that I've done all of that, BP, I kind of want to turn it back over to you, and maybe we should continue discussing this general, you know, what was it Jimmy Carter called it, the malaise, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That was something different. This is different than malaise. This is like manic depression on steroids.
I don't know. Malaise feels more appropriate to me. And, you know, I know it's Jimmy Carter and all, but he kind of nailed it. And I feel like
malaise kind of, you know, you're just kind of hanging out. You've got this general funk that's kind of enveloped you or draped over you. But this is something different.
You don't
people
get that
going
feeling?
Freak nuts out there. You I mean, really, yeah. There people are breaking down and going crazy. And some of the stuff I've heard coming out of Congress, I've been watching that the past week. Some of the statements made by these people elected to represent us makes me wonder if we don't need to start doing background checks on people that vote, because this is. We got some nut jobs up here in charge of this place, people, and they're about ready to run this thing through the guardrail.
Mm. I love the fact that they're starting to scream at each other on the steps of the Capitol more often. That's a new thing, right? The one guy was screaming at George Santos. I think that's his name, right? The guy who's accused of like 18 felonies and drag queen, and supposedly he's Jewish. He's not Jewish. Maybe he's gay. Maybe he's not. Ripping off the guy with the rescue animal, the veteran. This guy, who is just a grab bag of scandals. Yeah, there was one guy screaming at him that he needs to resign on the steps of the Capitol. Then Marjorie Taylor Greene was out talking to reporters, and the same guy confronted her like a couple of feet away. And I think as we went to air, actually, or maybe a little bit before we went to air, there was a big old debate on CNN as to whether that was racist or not, that Marjorie Taylor Greene was complaining about it. So I guess they're still trying to do the Don Lemon show, even though they fired Don Lemon. You know, I don't know, man. It's looking stranger and stranger, these alleged representatives. I know they don't represent me, BP. How about you?
No, I was a little pleased with one of the representatives from here in his, I don't know, his statements that he made. And this is during the FBI whistleblower hearings, you know. But some of the stuff that's coming out of these people's mouths, and I have to ask something. How did somebody who is just a non-voting member as a representative of, I don't know, Puerto Rico or some damn place, how do they become the ranking member for the Democrats when they can't even vote? They're a non-voting member of Congress. I mean, I don't understand how, because she's a nut job. I don't even want to get into it.
Well, we talked about that. Remember we talked about this like last year about these non-voting members. Like, what the hell is the point of them being there? I get them being there because, look, if you're part of the country, you should be represented, right? But if you send a representative who is toothless, who has no ability to vote, who has no ability to affect anything, you know, what can they do outside of debate, right? I mean, I guess they can debate on the floor. I don't know what the point is. Like, how does even the people that they're allegedly representing, how do they get represented here? If there's no vote, there's no, you know, there's a whole bunch of things. Yeah.
Seem like throwing up blocks, you know? I'm sorry, this woman, all she does is just bitch. I mean, damn, if that's all she does is bitch about stuff. I've not heard a lucid thought come out of one of them's mouths in the past 2 years.
Well, it's ridiculous. See, but what else are they supposed to do with their time is my question, because they can't do anything else. Like, why are they even being sent?
Send them home. If they don't have a vote, then get the hell out of our business.
See, either that or give them a vote, right? Because, again, if these people are paying taxes and they're supposed to be part of the country, they give their representative a vote, or don't give them a representative. Pick one. You know,
I'm so much leaning towards the iron fist method of government. This is what we've got is completely ridiculous. We have agencies that are sitting there doing what they want when they want with no fear of any retribution whatsoever, even from the government, even from the representatives who fund their illegal operations. They're not scared. They don't care. They run the show.
Why should we talk about government?
We can't stop in these, we can't just stop with people that we vote for. Somehow we need to get in there and clean out the government employees. And the only way to do it is to start cutting government and get rid of these lifetime political hacks that are running these agencies from the backside and making our lives completely miserable.
See, but it's a lose-lose prospect, because some people would say, okay, you know, like they only want political appointees in there that'll rotate in and out constantly, which means that you never get anybody who knows how to do the job. And somebody would make that argument against removing a whole bunch of aspects of the bureaucracy that stands there, you know, where somebody's got a 20, 30, 50-year career in an agency. And to me, it's like, I don't know, it seems like a lose-lose thing, because you put the political appointees in there, they don't know what they're doing. By the time they do figure out the job at all, they're gone, right? And they wreak havoc while they're there. And then you got these other people that create private fiefdoms where, you know, it's just what level of abuse they're going to loose upon whoever it is they can, because, you know, depending on which part of the bureaucracy is aimed at people, you know, well, just general, you know, everyday people.
What kills me is, though, we have people that are making big bucks, okay? These people are getting rich running these damn agencies. And it's, I'll give you a perfect example. James Comey at the FBI is sitting there screaming for FISA warrants. Where's the FISA warrants? Why haven't you gotten the FISA? Where are they? Where are we in the timeline? Let's get these things. Knowing full well that what he was seeking was gotten or being attempted to be gotten illegally. Mm. And they don't care. They have no fear whatsoever of the system that's supposed to regulate them coming down on them at all. These people are so brazen in their illegality. I mean, you expect it from certain aspects. You expect it on the banking side. You expect it on the utility side. This is our government. These are the people that are supposed to be out there protecting us, and they are turning us into criminals by simply existing. Mm. It's so bad. And I don't see any way of fixing it other than a total breakdown of the entire, just completely gut the system. And the only way to do that is cut off the money.
Yeah, but see, how do you cut off the money from the people that are printing it? You know what I mean? It's like, here we go. You know, Nature Boy, you got anything you want to add into this discussion?
Once again, where do I start?
Right.
I mean, like, where do you start? Yeah, you said something interesting, Pete, when you're talking about people in the government. I live in Sacramento, and a lot of my friends, which many haven't seen since COVID, that's another story for a different day, were government workers. And there were some of them that were really good. They're great people. But there's also that handful or two or three that were useless as a you-know-what on a bore. And I'm sitting there thinking, how do you function in life and you're working for the government and making more money than I am, working less than I am, and have a better benefits package? Just, my God.
Well, there's a whole lot of people with those kind of jobs where I dare you to tell me what it is they actually do. You know, what it is they actually accomplish, because there's a bunch of jobs that if you read the description and then you take a look at what it is they actually do with their day, it's like, and here's the thing, I feel bad for people that get involved in it and think that they're actually going to serve a purpose and, you know, make things better for people and stuff like that.
No.
Which is weird, because I imagine after a couple of years of, you know, really getting exposed to the game, you finally say to yourself, well, look, either I do this and make a living, right? Or I go find something else to do that, you know, doesn't make me feel like a completely useless turd at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
System is built.
It's so convoluted, though, and I'll give you a perfect example of what happened in this state just a couple weeks ago. Duke Power is the only power company in this state. We have some co-ops that work in certain rural areas and things like that, but they still get their power directly from Duke Power. Duke Power is in 7 states. Mm-hmm. They have over 130 subsidiary companies that are doing business worldwide, everything from development of machinery to send electricity somewhere to just flat out providing the electricity, whether it's through hydroelectric or natural gas powered plants, whatever. They are in 7 states. They hold a monopoly. We have nobody that we can go back on to get alternative electricity unless we go off the grid and create our own. So people started putting in solar panels. Mm-hmm. And people were able to take the excess power that they developed and put it on the grid and get a credit for it. Our insurance commission, or not insurance, our utilities commission has just allowed, over the next 2 years, I think it is, price increases for Duke Power because of various costs that have gone up. But also now they are charging you a fee to put your energy back on the grid. you're no longer making money. You're having to pay for the privilege of having solar power. That's how this whole green energy thing has flipped. And now you're going to foot the bill for all this crap that's going to be wasted by all these government agencies telling power companies what they have to do to be able to exist and operate. And it's coming out of your wallet. It's like bizarro world, Superman's bizarro world, where everything is the exact opposite of what it is in real life. It's unbelievable now.
Well, and the wondrous thing about when I lived there.
Time of inversion.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, I just want to say this really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're living in a time of inversion. And I was just talking to my friend the other day while we were going down the river. It seems as what was once bad is now considered good. And what once was good is now considered bad. Like the whole world, and the morals included, have been just flipped upside down.
Mm. No, see, like in general, I'd love to say, look, why not? You know, you get some solar power, it cuts down on the amount of resources, it cuts down on the amount of pollution, all that good stuff. But they found a way to co-opt it. And what's really interesting is when I lived in North Carolina, right, I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm not paying Duke Energy because I'm paying the township for my electricity, right? In Kinston, that's what you got to do. You got to pay Kinston, right? At the end of the day, though, you figure it out. No matter what label they put on it, no matter what company they say it is, it all leads back to the same stupid company anyway. So all you've done is created middlemen, right?
Didn't realize the whole scam that was going on, because Kinston was the same thing as Little Washington and a few other of these smaller cities. What they did was they started passing bonds a few years ago, mm-hmm. so that they could up their infrastructure, replace poles, transformers, transmission lines, and things within the city limits. And now they tack on like $9 a month to your bill to pay for those bonds that they took out. So now you're not only paying for the bonds for the city, but the increased rates for Duke Power as well, because that's who the city gets their power from. And it just stacks fee on fee on fee. Mm-hmm. And the city has found a way to use Duke and their monopoly to create a second monopoly, and it's just hitting you in the wallet every week. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, but there's the thing, because if you live there, right, where's your options? Do you have options? You know what I mean? No, you don't. You have to. You can't even inhabit a
broke up
dwelling.
AT&T, or I take that back. They broke up Ma Bell over less of a monopoly than Duke Power has in this area right now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, but it's amazing to me that, like, at the end of the day, very good intentions end up just adding middlemen, and end up adding additional scams to turn around and just redirect things so you think that you're working with a different entity, you think you're working with a different company, you think you're working with something that has, you know, the local interests in mind because they're concerned with just what's going on in your area. And it turns out, no, it's actually just this huge corporation again who has figured out a way to relabel something else and trick you into, okay, yeah, you're not paying the big company anymore. You're paying for your local this and that. So they collect a bond on it. They create a bureaucracy. They end up with another commission. There's 4, 5, 10 more jobs created in a small town. And you go, oh, look, we've accomplished something. No, you haven't. All you've done is added redundancy and extra people to the equation. And
use extra money.
And created extra money for that company that you were mad about in the first place, ripping you off. And then what do they do at the end of all that? Is they turn around and say, well, you know, because of all this other stuff going on and because of the cost of us having to redirect everything, we're going to allow them to jack up prices some more, too. You know, crazy. I mean,
inflation, looking at the grocery store prices and from what I've read on the markets and everything, we are seeing a little bit better. Some things have come down. A lot of things are still high. It's slowly coming down, and it's going to take some time for it to come down. But I don't know if. We had talked about this a while back. I don't know when people are going to reach that limit where enough is enough, and I just sense it getting closer and closer and closer. Maybe I'm a, I don't know, maybe I'm just doom and gloom, but I'm telling you what, people are going to, people are going to react to this in a way that's going to surprise a lot of other people, and it's not going to be pretty.
Well, I think they're already – see, I think this actually ties directly into what it is we started talking about in the first place. I think we are seeing the reaction. It's just that people don't know what it is they're reacting to. I think all these pressures are coming together to cause what I think is a mental disorder, what appears to be at the very least an emotional stressor that is going across the board, that is inescapable, because no matter who you deal with, you're getting affected by this. And
so what? What are we going to just go through? Is the goal to just get everybody on Ritalin or Adderall and continue to march? I mean, what's the end game here?
See, I wish I knew, because the thing is, I mean, what is the overall plan? I mean, how long do you apply pressure to something before you expect it to break? And when it breaks, how do you expect it to break? You know what I mean? This is the thing that I throw my hands up, man. I'm not going to sit here and act like I got a crystal ball on it. But it seems to me as though people are getting pressurized. They are taking note of it. I'm glad you're seeing things come down in the grocery store, because I'm not.
It's just things. I mean, and I'm looking at commodities. We have that's one thing about this state. They really have a huge thumb. Well, they've got their thumb on the pulse of the agriculture business, because so much of our state economy is based on it. And there's programs out there you can listen to, and you can watch the trends of commodities and things of that nature. And things are coming down. It's funny the pockets that are left out there and how they're connected to the inflated costs because of either fertilizer or fuel or whatever in the processing. But things are coming down. It's slow. Very slow. But overall, yeah, it's coming back around, but it's just taking the natural course that it does anytime inflation shoots up the way that it does. It's so, just a way.
Well, no, I hear that. But look, you know, these are all the pains and pangs that we're all familiar with. I wonder if you guys want to go into a couple of speculative areas, because I have been having the same conversation with a bunch of people asking the same questions. Everybody from Nico House to, again, you know, people offline, I keep asking the questions about what they see coming regarding a couple of things. So, and I think that interview with Nico, you just put that up today on Rockfin, right? Right, Nature Boy?
Yeah, the video one is up there, and the audio version for free is up there.
Great. And I put out the audio version on the regular podcast feed. It's not up on the website just yet. I got a few things to put up on the website as soon as I get enough time to sit there and mess with the site, because there's a few issues with it that I got to fix. But, yeah, I mean, I'll have that stuff up all this weekend, and I'll get probably this show up by Sunday. Anyway, we'll get the regular podcast feed out there quicker. So if you're listening to us on Apple and stuff like that, it comes out a little faster. I keep asking certain questions to everybody, so I was wondering if you guys want to kick those around. What do you think, BP?
That's fine. Whatever you want to do.
Well, I'm watching Dennis Kucinich. Yeah. Sorry. Dennis Kucinich just named campaign manager, apparently, for Bobby Kennedy Jr. So I don't know what you guys think of that, but that was an interesting move. And I don't know. I'm feeling a little optimistic about that. What do you think about it, BP?
I don't know. I think this is going to be one of those novel runs. I don't think he's going to make a lot of traction on the established Democratic monolith that he's trying to overtake. I mean, Biden, unless something happens, I don't know how they can not have Biden up there. I'm trying to understand that now, because I think they put their money behind him and they see how bad Biden's gotten. I mean, this guy is about to lose it. I mean, he's not far from Alzheimer's taking over.
Well, and the sad thing is, right, you'd think that Biden is bad enough that an outside challenger should be able to unseat him, right? But in the past, we've seen with incumbent presidents, like I brought up with Mike last night, you know, look, I don't recall anybody taking out an incumbent president who wanted to run. Like in the case of Johnson, who turned around and quit. But I mean, you know, because Eugene McCarthy and, of course, Bobby Kennedy Sr. was running at that time. And, you know, Johnson said, look, I will not accept and I don't want and all that. But, yeah.
you think Kennedy's got too much baggage for the big donors to get behind him?
No, I think the big donors could get behind him easily. I'm just wondering about the DNC machine. Like, no. You know, because either way, whether it's Republican or Democrat, because we've seen it go both ways, right? I mean, what was it? Reagan tried to challenge Ford, I think, in 76 and couldn't do it. And he was running against Carter. Carter was challenged in 1980 by Teddy Kennedy, right? I mean, these are ones in our lifetime I'm thinking of, who was an incumbent president running, even though Carter lost to Reagan in 80. You know, I think it was Ted Kennedy tried to run against him in 80, right?
Yeah, but I mean, everybody knew Ted had no chance. People were not going to get rid of Chappaquiddick. That
no,
was
no, true.
From the White.
True enough, but what I'm saying is that regardless, you know, would even if he didn't have Chappaquiddick, would he have stood a chance? Given that Carter was the incumbent president for that party, see, that's the thing.
See, honestly, I think if it hadn't been for Chappaquiddick, you'd have seen Kennedy run before Carter did.
Oh yeah, certainly. But given the circumstance, see, again, I'm trying to just line it up with where do we see a challenger that's going to try and take one of the two major political parties on where you have an incumbent president, you know?
Don't you think that Biden is in bad enough shape that the party, I have a feeling they might dump him. But who are they going to latch on to? That can't be Kamala. She's the next in line, and there's no way they're going to latch on to her as their candidate.
No, who the hell wants to vote for? Yeah. Michelle Obama, okay. Mm-hmm.
You think?
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah. I could see
but
that.
I can't say for sure, but there's only one person in the wings, that could even make a run at anybody. And if, God forbid, Agent Orange gets a Republican ticket, there's only one person that could go up against him, and that would be Michelle. And she would win the election hands down. I mean, no questions asked, even if it was legitimate.
You think so?
She would still win it.
Hmm.
I don't think she could. I think she's alienated enough people in the party that I don't know. I don't think, depending on who the Republican is, I don't know if she could do it.
But, she could win the people.
But as of right now, she hasn't stepped forward and said she wants it, right? So we got to deal with the people that have stepped forward and said they want it. So Biden has said he's going to run, so he's not, you know, he's not turning around and saying, okay, find another Democrat to replace me and put him on the ticket. He's not saying, let's turn it over to Kamala, right? Kamala, whatever, however you're supposed to say it. He's not saying any of that. He's saying, I'm in, right? And Trump is in. You know, DeSantis, not really serious yet.
Well, he's announcing next week. I'll tell you what, I think DeSantis will take it from Trump.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like right now we're looking at a Trump-Biden rematch, but would the DNC turn around and roll the dice and say, you know, would RFK Jr. be enough to beat Trump? And would the establishment go with him? That's the question, because he's filing, he's going for it. And like I said, weird move that he's got, you know, the BlackRock people running the finance, and now he picks up Kucinich as his campaign manager. That's really interesting to me. I like Dennis Kucinich.
I think the party is wedded to Biden right now, and there's no way. I can't see them giving him up even at the last minute if they think they're going to lose. But
let's go back to the misery factor, because people are blaming Biden for the misery. I mean, it's just that simple, whether it's all his or not, you can easily turn around and go, well, since Biden's been in, I mean, like Jimmy James said last week, right? Since Biden's been in, you mean to tell me that, you know, your financial situation isn't worse? Of course it is. plenty of people are saying exactly that. It is the Democrats' fault. It is Biden's fault that we are in the condition we're in, that, you know, this one, that one, the third one is suffering as they are. They're blaming the entire thing with COVID on Biden. A lot of people are, regardless of when that actually started, who actually locked down what, doesn't matter. It's the Democrats. They own it. And could they cast that aside and say, look, we've actually got somebody who thinks differently, who's going to do things differently. with Bobby Kennedy, I mean, you can't argue that he wouldn't be a paradigm shift for the Democrats.
I don't know if the extreme. I don't know if the extreme side of the Democratic Party is fully taken over yet. Mm. I mean, they seem to have a lot of control, but when it comes right down, it depends on who's controlling the money. And right now, Biden is controlling the money by being in the office.
Right.
I mean, it's like when she ran. You know, they had to turn over complete control of the money to her. And Biden's under the same situation. Now, we don't know what's going to come out of any legalities that may be down the road. I doubt anything at all. But for now, I mean, he's the guy, and he wants to run. So I think they've painted themselves into a corner now, and they might start panicking here a little bit. You know, Kennedy is extreme enough that he could pull the extreme side of things, but I don't know if they've got enough to pull the whole party.
Yes, yeah, that's my big question, is what happens with if the Democratic establishment recognizes that they've got a dog, they've got a loser in Biden, and Bobby Kennedy is still in there trying to get it, he wants it. I don't know where that goes, because again, to my knowledge, I don't think anybody has ever taken away the party's nomination from one of the major parties when you have an incumbent president. Many people have challenged. People have gone and challenged. Like I said, Reagan did it a couple of times. Challenging Ford was interesting because Ford was sort of like the replacement president anyway. And he loses to Carter. And the Republicans were willing to go down with Ford instead of even thinking about shifting over to Reagan, right? That's 76 I'm talking about. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what this means. And, you know, is it just going to be a novel run for Bobby Kennedy? Is it just a setup for the next time? I hope not. But it's really interesting.
Yes, and I think it's got enough backing that he can seriously go out there and challenge Biden. It's just a matter of what the party is going to finally accept
right. When
it comes nominating. I think Kennedy, I mean, he's articulate. He's got strong views on things. He's established, but he's a little too far out there for some of the moderate Democrats. Let's put it that way.
But the key thing to me is that you can't hang any of the responsibility for the financial woes that are being suffered universally on him. You can't hang of the responsibility for that on him. You could dare say that even the people that are pissed off about COVID and how all that went down could easily look at him and say, well, this guy wouldn't have put us in that position with COVID. He is not responsible for it. And also, he would have looked at things differently. Now, there are plenty of people that say he's in the pocket of the green agenda, so there's a problem. But
his trick is going to have to pull. He's going to have to pull those left-leaning independents. That's going to be what takes him over the top.
But even then, even if he has the numbers, does he get the party to cooperate if he's trying to run as a Democrat, right? Because that, to me, is the real trick.
I think there's a lot of old money there that doesn't want to back Kennedy. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Nature Boy, you got any thoughts?
Well, I just kind of one popped in my mind while you two were talking is – I'm curious to see if there's going to be any of the candidates' representatives at the Bilderberg meeting going on right now in, I believe, Portugal. But as far as that's just a side thought, what do you guys think of that? Because it has happened in the past.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd love to see who's going to attend there. Weirder than that is, you know, they got Zelensky going to attend the G7. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, it's going to drop.
Yeah.
Of course, we're giving him F-16s now, so he should be happy.
Maybe, but isn't it weird that he's going to go and be at the G7? I don't know, man. The world is getting weirder. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here. And you guys out there, join us, 319-527-5016. That's the number to call, or you can reach out to me, Charles.Ocelli, on Skype. The Friday night open mic continues after this.
real history that you were never taught in schools. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times, and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks, by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Nuclear Holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? Think of nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of, you know what uranium is, right? Bad things. Things are done with uranium, including some bad things. Nuclear Holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? I've been briefed. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? Think of nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of, you know what uranium is, right? Bad things. Things are done with uranium, including some bad things. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust.
You're listening to the Ocelli.com radio network.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ocelli.com.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles are really, really pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. That's the oil's rule.
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Revelation through conversation. Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
Second segment of the Friday Night Live open mic, Ocelli Effect. My co-host B. Pete is with me, Nature Boy is with me on the Skype, and we have a couple of callers on the phone lines and a Skype caller. So we'll get to everybody as quickly as we can. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. Hey, B. Pete, I'm going to go to this caller. But that story you were just talking to me about off air, I wouldn't mind if you got to that. And who knows what Nature Boys dug up while we were in break. I guess I'll find out shortly along with the rest of you. So, yeah, let's go to the first caller on the line. And I believe I know who this is, but let's see. Is that you, Harlan?
Yeah, it's me. What's going on?
I knew I thought I recognized your number this time. Great to hear from you, sir. How you doing tonight? Were you listening? Did you decide to call in based on the conversation, or did you have something you wanted to drop on us?
Well, I was listening to some of the last of the RFK Jr. conversation you guys had. I'm getting here a little late tonight, but what you guys were talking about during the break, I'd like to hear JB talk more about that.
Ah, okay. Well, so B. Pete, which thing is that though, Harlan? Because I stepped away during the break, so I don't know. Are you talking about the MyPillow thing or the other thing?
Yeah, both of them.
Ah, okay. So B. Pete, would you mind going back over that? Would you mind going back over that thing you were just talking about during the break?
Yeah, I'm looking for the link. I'm having to scroll back, but. Yeah, basically, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, who was a big Trump supporter, still a big Trump supporter, and came out after the election making claims about things being stolen, had gone to a conference, and at this conference had made the comment that he had data that showed that China somehow had manipulated vote totals through machines, and he challenged any expert out there that could take his data and prove that it wasn't connected to the 2020 election, he'd pay him $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this professional took him up on it and basically said, okay, went through the data and said, yeah, this stuff isn't even connected to the election, and went to court. Well, Mike Lindell lost $5 million. So there was a deadline set for payment, and if no payment was made, the guy took him back into court, now has a judgment that he's got to pay within the next 30 days. So Mike Lindell's corporate entity is going to have to cough up $5 million, and he is still facing a lawsuit with Dominion Voting Machines, who people, you know, keeping up with the news, realize that Fox News just settled with over claims about vote totals. Theirs was what, 750 million? I forget what the settlement was.
Well, something like that. Yeah, above $750 million, which, you know, some people said, oh, Fox can't handle that. They actually have that kind of money. But the big question here is, I mean, does the MyPillow guy have $5 million to give up? I mean, would that actually bankrupt? I don't know. How much money has he made? Is he like, you know, the 100 millionaire class? I don't even know.
I have no idea. I'd have to do some check into that. But I do know that for the past 3 months, I mean, he's got a regular thing going with all these conservative talk shows where, you know, he advertises on them and they offer, you know, special discounts if you type in the name of the host in the, you know, in the box when you make your order.
Well, and he's been flying around too, doing live appearances at different places and saying, you know, hey, look, not only am I the MyPillow guy, I'm also a patriot, you know.
Yeah, but he's on a fire sale because in the past 6 months, all his big item, big dollar item things have been going for like, you know, 75-80% off. He's trying to dump inventory. I don't know if it's to pay the legal bills or to go ahead and get the stuff gone so it's easier to claim bankruptcy when they go to, you know, get their money. I don't know what's up, but everything's on sale at MyPillow.com.
Yeah, I think the last commercial I got stuffed at me was him trying to sell his, what is it, bedding sets, like whole bedding. Not just a pillow, but we have sheets and blankets. And like I saw that, and it was at a deep discount that they were trying to offer it to me. I got that alongside of my daily Trump emails. You know, they're trying to sell me the talking pen. And yeah, they really want to sell me those.
the all-season slippers that you can wear inside or out any time of the day, the most comfortable slipper, you know, normally $149.99, you can get for $25.99.
Yeah, and meanwhile, they probably get made for about a buck and a half in China. But, I mean, you know.
Well, I think he makes them. I may be wrong, but I think all his stuff is made here in the States, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it really? Is it real? Well, I know Trump's stuff isn't. Although maybe they did have to switch it around at one point because remember he was his campaign was running around going, look, Joe Biden's hats are made in China, and then somebody flipped over the, you know, the Make America Great hats and showed, yeah, they're made in China too.
Yeah, and his ties and yeah, but I know his pillow manufacturing was here in the States, but he got so big into other stuff, robes, towels, sheets.
Yeah. Is it all made here?
That's farmed out to another company. So yeah. Well, may not. Maybe just the pillows that are made here and the other stuff's made somewhere else, you know, like Sri Lanka.
But look, I can't blame them considering what I've gone through recently with these hats. Because I got to tell you, I've done like a tour of Asia now. Where I've had to go, you know, through Hong Kong and through all these different places, and I'm dealing with customs and all kinds of crap because even after all of that and having to, you know, go with a translator program between me and these manufacturers all over the place, by the way, Singapore, I mean, you name it. Quite honestly, it's still at less than 30% what I would have to pay in the United States to get the same damn thing done. So, you know, and that's including the customs, the tariffs, the blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. Even when you knock all that off, you're still looking at pennies on the dollar. So, yeah. And it's less than 30 cents on the dollar. So, I mean, what do you want me to do? So I wouldn't blame the guy if he's manufacturing outside of the U.S., all that other stuff he was making. But, as you mentioned, though, there has been kind of a fire sale. So I don't know if it was in preparation for this lawsuit or what. But does he have the $5 million to just absorb that? Is that the kind of thing where it's like, eh, that kind of sucks? But, you know, it's like the Alex Jones thing where people were like, oh, no, Alex Jones is going to be bankrupt now. And I'm like, no, he's not. He has that amount of money. That's the scary part.
You know, Alex, he's been squirreling that stuff away for some time, thinking eventually somebody's going to sue my butt. Maybe I better start putting this stuff in a box in the yard.
Well, all those money bombs and everything else and the way that he took advantage of people that were, you know, feeding him products. I mean, legit people that were producing their own DVDs, their own books and everything else. And I've got dozens of stories from people firsthand that told me about how it is they had to give it to him for almost nothing to get it in the InfoWars store, okay?
Yeah.
You know, and that's been going on for years and years and years. So, I mean, he was mightily profiting off of everything. And I have no idea really what the breakdown was on the, you know, the male enhancement pills. Okay. I have this wheezing happening right now. I don't know why, but, anyway, you know, but I knew.
Give a testimony on some of those.
Sorry, but what is that, Harlan?
I could give a testimony on some of those, male enhancement products that he sells.
Oh, some years ago. You could. Okay. Well, what do you know about it?
Yeah, I bought some what was it, Anthroflex. Well, you know, the first bottle, you know, let's say it worked pretty good. About a month later, I bought a 3-pack, and you know, you couldn't tell you was taking aspirin or what you took. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I don't know if it was kind of like a drug dealer that, you know, your first time around, you know, they hit you with the good stuff, and after that, they just give you everything that's been cut down or whatever.
Well, yeah, you got to give the good dope. Listen, basic street principle, Harlan, you got to give the good dope the first time because then they're going to chase that high.
Yeah.
So then you can give them the cut down crap, and they're going to come and buy that 3-4 times trying to get that original high back. This is why we used to cook the crack with exactly this formula in mind. You had your first hit that was really pretty potent, and then the next time you see that guy, you don't give him it out of that pouch because it's a little too good. You want him to keep chasing it. So basic drug dealer principle right there. So unfortunately, you don't know my background, Harlan, but as a kid, some of my survival skills are based on this. It's what I had to do to be useful, right? But anyway, yeah, that is the way that works. You never did the toxic tangerine over there and all that other stuff, right? Or you weren't buying the what was the other thing he was doing for a little while? The salt. Not salt, iodine. He was selling all kinds of iodine, and it turned out it was, like, not all that great, and then he stopped selling iodine. Remember, everybody was worried about, the different nuclear meltdowns?
I've probably got still a half a bottle of that somewhere from, like, 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I never could see anything out of it. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
It tasted like some kind of molded wood. But I took it, for about a week, and I'm like, man, this shit can't be done, any good. It tastes like that. I've ordered a few things off them. Somewhere here, I've probably still got 75, 80 bumper stickers, if I could find them, the Hillary for Prison bumper stickers. But, I always kind of took Alex as there was a lot of showmanship. He was entertaining.
Well, but I'll tell you what, Harlan, if you...
From Trump forward, he just got completely stupid.
I'll tell you what, Harlan, you really got like 75 of those Hillary for Prison bumper stickers?
If I can find them somewhere, I've just never been really had a chance to look, but I've got the original one somewhere. There should be 50 or 75 of them because I ordered like 100 pack.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't have 100 pack of Ocelli Effect stickers, but I do have some bumper stickers. If you want to send me like, say, 5 or 10 of them, I'll trade you 5 or 10 Ocelli Effect stickers for 5 or 10 Hillary for Prison stickers. And what I'll do is I'll add them randomly into people's swag bags so that I'll redistribute some Hillary for Prison along with the Ocelli Effect stickers I send to other people. You want to make a little trade?
I'll try to find them this weekend while I'm home.
All right, great. Let me know. Send me a message. You got me on Facebook. Send me a message on Facebook if you find them. I'll give you my mailing address, and I'll send you Ocelli Effect stickers if you send me your mailing address. All right?
Okay.
I definitely want to trade with you and get a couple of those out. We'll send some Hillary for Prison stickers out to people, too. Why not? Because I'm all for it. Hillary for prison, Trump for prison. Yeah, all of them for prison, actually. A giant 500-man perp walk out of D.C. I wouldn't mind seeing. But anyway, that's just me and my craziness. We also have Chris Graves has joined us on the Skype, I think, if I haven't put him to sleep yet. Chris, you with us?
Join us on Swap Shop.
Throw them all in prison.
Exactly. Why not, right? How you doing, Chris?
You see prison reform real quick if that happened.
Yeah, wouldn't you, though?
I'm doing better now than I'm with the Ocelli Effect Friday Night Call-In Show.
There you go. So, interesting little thing. You did a show with Tom Cooper earlier.
A little emotional at the end, too.
A touch. Kind of in the middle, really, because you asked him to tell a story about something that got him moved there. So, I don't know. That's been your thing this week.
I had another another guest that I guess I caught off guard on the wrong day, too, last Saturday.
Yeah, that guest was me. If you guys didn't see the episode of Conspiring with Mr. Cooper, where I was on video with Chris and Occult Priestess and Tom Cooper, kind of caught me in an emotional moment there It's like, yeah, we're gonna have fun and jokes on here, and then all of a sudden I'm having an emotional moment. You know, anyway, I'm just busting your balls, Chris.
Well, at the end there, I had to throw in a couple of radio-friendly dirty jokes to get Tom cackling again, because I love hearing that guy cackle.
Yeah, well, hey, look, and the one joke I still don't understand, but that's okay, you know.
Yeah, I'll explain it to you when you're old enough.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So, B. Pete, where? I mean, Chris, you got something you want to throw on the table here? Any thoughts or story or something? Or should I turn it back over to my co-host and Nature Boy to see what they have to offer?
Well, I used to be a Libra, and I'm just happy to be here with you and Mr. B. Pete and Nature Boy, and that's about it.
And don't forget
Harlan. Oh, and the great Harlan Stonewall.
I was going to say, don't forget Harlan on the phone, man. I'm serious about that Hillary for prison stickers, by the way. I'll definitely send you Ocelli Effect stickers in exchange for a handful of those. So, anyways.
I'll try to find them.
All right, great. And you know what? I'll tell you what. Even if you don't find them, just send me your mailing address. I'll send you a couple stickers anyhow. Like I said, I'm going to be sending out a lot of stuff.
I was just going to say real quick, I'll send you a message letting you know one way or the other within the next couple of days.
Excellent. Appreciate it.
Harlan's a good dude.
I know he is. I appreciate that he calls into this show. So anyway, what do you think, B. Pete? Where should we go from here?
Well, I don't know. A couple topics in the news we can kick around. Martha Stewart is going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition.
Yeah, what the hell is with that?
Jesus. Institutions like that. This world has gone to such extremes that now we have to put up with things like Sports Illustrated totally ruining an iconic institute in the United States, or in the world even, because they've got worldwide distribution. Now, you can't even look at the swimsuit edition and look at swimsuit models. You got to look at 81-year-old ex-felons. I mean, it's terrible.
See, I don't mind that she's an ex-felon, and I always was into older women, but I mean, there's a limit here. Why is she on the swimsuit issue? There was a time when the swimsuit issue was a big deal. Now some people on this call are a little older than myself, but certainly being a Gen Xer, I do recall when the swimsuit issue was a big, big deal. You know, when Playboy was still an actual magazine too, right? And they have consistently done weird things with the swimsuit issue over the years.
They've absolutely ruined it.
But Martha Stewart is the strangest pick I could possibly. I mean, like, you know, like, they were going to put Caitlyn Jenner on there at one point, right? Weren't they going to do that?
Well, they've got transgender individuals this time, and I think they've had one before. But it started back. When did they do the big change where? What was the issue that it was, they were topless and all, and it was just bottoms or tops, and if somebody went, you can't even get a complete bathing suit now when you look, you know, to try to pick one out. It was years back, but it's just gone downhill to the point that just fold the thing. Playboy's gone away. Let's get rid of the swimsuit edition because it's ruined.
Well, it's a little ridiculous when you put Martha Stewart on. I do remember that year, though, was like it was women just wearing swimsuit bottoms, and then they were covering up their breasts with their hands, right? I think that was the move that year, and that was like one of the last, you know, obviously appealing to the male gaze years. But ever since, they've just been like, what can we do that's totally strange? And by the way, do they even print that thing anymore, or is it just available online? I mean, does that actually hit newsstands? Sorry, go ahead.
It's still in print, I believe, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, does anybody buy magazines anymore? I mean, they're about $15 a piece now, aren't they, magazines, when you do see them? So, I don't know. I mean, I remember the days when they were $2-3. You know, it was like, okay, so it's a little more than a newspaper, but you get it once a month. It's not so bad. You know what I mean? All the way up to $5, you say to yourself, all right, it's a magazine. Color pictures,
you
know?
Think about it, though.
back when I was in high school, I mean, it was a main source for news. You had Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report, Time. You had all these news magazines out there, and they were very popular. And the advertising rates, I mean, the money they were making off the advertising, these things were unbelievable. And they've all gone away. I don't know of any of them that are still in print, but luckily Sports Illustrated is published 12 times a year.
Yeah. So let me just ask everybody on the call then, one at a time. Let's get their input on this. I mean, you got any thoughts? Let's start with Harlan on the phone, and we'll get around to, I guess, Nature Boy and then Chris next. And anybody else who wants to call in, 319-527-5016. We'll keep this going for about another half hour or so, easily, and maybe a little more. We'll see. Here on the Friday night open mic, and you can join us, 319-527-5016. So Harlan, any thoughts on Martha Stewart being on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cover? I leave it to you, whatever it is you want to say.
Well, you know, at least she's good. I don't know how to put this in a nice way, but at least she does have the original equipment, if you know what I mean.
Well, we don't know that.
I can remember a time when, well, yeah, allegedly. You
know. Allegedly, she's an original woman, yes. Good call there, allegedly. Thank you, Harlan. Go ahead, sorry.
I mean, most of them's allegedly, unless you see, you know, the day itself. But I can remember a time back in 92 when I was in the eighth grade that Hillary didn't look too bad. So I'm sure we'll lay somebody out there appreciates Martha now. Good.
Yeah, I do remember thinking that Hillary wasn't so bad looking, especially standing next to Tipper Gore. You know, I remember thinking that when I was a kid, going, well, you know, she's not awful looking. I mean, after all, you know, who was the comparison? The first lady was Barbara Bush, and, you know, I mean, if she didn't belong on a natural oats box, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, so you know, it was what it was. And, of course, living through Nancy Reagan being there, you know, go ahead.
I've heard rumors that Martha Stewart actually, like, you know, 60-some-odd years ago used to be Martin Stewart. And that you know, that's the big reveal that's going to be coming out now, that, you know, it's maybe not original equipment.
Wow. Okay, well, that's scary.
That's hanging out about everybody anymore.
Yeah, well, look, I guess you got to question it all. I mean, after all, there's no such thing as women, but there are people that do give birth, right? I mean, there are birth givers, whatever. What planet am I on?
I give birth after every Pizza Hut buffet.
What planet am I on, Chris? Help me out here. What do you think about, Chris, what do you think about the Martha Stewart on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cover?
I'm just looking for them to bring back Jugs or Biggins.
Does Jugs still exist? I wonder. I don't know.
I don't think so, but I hope it's not Martha Stewart next, you know?
Would she qualify for Jugs?
Well, apparently everyone's inverted now. Didn't you get the memo?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, fair enough. Nature Boy. Yeah. Any thoughts on Martha Stewart? I got another caller, by the way. The one caller dropped, the anonymous caller, but now I got another caller I see. So I might pick him up next. But before I do, Nature Boy, you got any thoughts on Martha Stewart being on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover?
Go woke, go broke. I'm surprised they didn't hand her one of those Dylan Mulvaney Budweiser cans, you know?
Well,
it's crazy.
I think Martha would rate her own can.
See, would people protest if Martha Stewart got a Bud Light can? I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, Martha's a part of Americana.
What if she had a Martin can, not a Martha can? Did they protest then?
Yeah, but are you suggesting that Martha Stewart will soon transition into Martin? Or are you suggesting that maybe there was something in the past there buried?
In the past is what the rumor is.
Oh, I seriously? I did not know about this at all.
Yeah. You're better off.
Newsflash, yes, Jugs, spelled with two G's, magazine is still being published.
Wow, okay. I did not know this. So let's go to the new caller and see what he's got to say about the Martha Stewart Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cover. See if he does. I'm sure he'll have something to add into the conversation. I do believe we have Jimmy James with us. So, Jimmy, you got any thoughts on Martha Stewart being on the front cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue?
Well, I'll say that, first off, I'm against it. I don't like it. But they also have a couple men in there. So at least thank God that they didn't make the cover, I guess. I don't know. Who do they make this for? It's the SWI swimsuit model used to be... Come on, man. It's for the guys.
It was supposed
to
be.
This crap.
Well, see, what happened... You know what? Jimmy James just asked the best question, though. Who is this being made for? Who sits there and goes, you know, who I want to see laid out on a beach... In a wonderful, fashionable, whatever, I don't know, do the French still make bikinis? I mean, who is it that, you know, like in the most stylish, whatever kind of new age, I don't even know what a new age bikini looks like. I haven't been to the beach in years. But who do I want to see? Martha Stewart. Who the hell are they making this for, guys? I mean, seriously, nobody on this call would pick Martha Stewart to be on that cover, right? I mean...
Maybe the main demographic is, you know, for purchasers of Sports Illustrated are guys between the ages of 60 and 95. Who the hell knows?
But even if you go on Pornhub and you go get granny porn, it's not generally Martha Stewart age women, right? I mean, even if this is one of your fixations.
I've got to give Martha credit. She looks a lot better than most of what you see on granny porn on Pornhub. I just... take my word for it.
I will take your word for it. I'll take anybody's word for it because I'm just aware it's a category. I haven't perused it, but I'm just saying that I know it's a category. I don't know. It's like who the hell are they making this for? Is the question like who sits there and goes, "I know who I want on this cover." Like you're sitting there staring at a blank cover, right? You know, we're going to go to, I don't know, Morocco, let's say. The most beautiful beach we can think of. It's in Morocco. It's in, I don't know, it's in Florida somewhere. It's in California. God knows. It's definitely not in Jersey. I'll tell you that. But the most beautiful beach in the world, we're going to put somebody beautiful on the cover. Who should we put there? Martha Stewart. Who did that? I mean, who said this is what's going to sell an issue of a magazine during a time when magazines don't really sell? Who did that? And Jugs is still being printed as BP instructed.
And the articles, I don't bother to read them anymore. It's the same as reading Pravda. That's nice. How about sports?
You know, I was one of those idiots that used to actually read Playboy articles, by the way. I used to love the interviews, to be honest with you. They had great interviews.
They did, and they had some – they could get people that you wouldn't normally see interviewed in print.
Right, very special interviews. Like,
wait a minute. Yeah. We were talking Sports Illustrated. How'd you perverts all of a sudden switch it all up to Playboy?
Well, you talk about writing about sports and Sports Illustrated and reading the, you made a comment about reading the articles.
And I was just thinking that I was one of those guys that used to, I brought it up because I used to actually read the articles in Playboy.
I guess, yeah, you just confused me for a minute, Chuck. That's true.
Sorry.
That's true.
I'm really honest to goodness not trying to confuse you, Jimmy James, I swear. I'm really not. It just logically linked in my head. I went, you know, where have I heard that term or that phrase? Oh, but I read it for the articles. And it used to come out of my mouth because I had a subscription when I was like 12 to Playboy because the articles really. That was the truth of it. I mean, I was more than happy to get my Vanna White issue, but still I read the articles. I actually read, you know, the different people. They would get interviews of people like BP said. That you didn't see interviewed everywhere.
Well, no, but Vanna White might make the issue next year for the front if they don't go out of business.
She's up there in age. Oh, how old is she? She's what, in her 60s now?
Oh, you know, he's 70, 80, same as...
How old is Vanna?
Arpa?
Well, she's got to be around 70 years old now, right? Somebody look that up. How old is Vanna White?
Now.
I don't know. Let's see. I'll go look it up. I don't care.
No, I'm searching now. Let's see. 66.
66.
She's older than me. Yeah.
If that is indeed her true age, because again, I remember being a teenager and getting her, you know, they had bought some lingerie ads or something from somewhere. And that was another thing Playboy used to do, is they would like get a hold of.
Hers was verified because she was, you know, she ran for Miss Georgia and all. And they kind of check into stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. But she had done like some lingerie ads, you know.
Yeah, Vanna, she was the it girl for there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. So, there you have it. Anyways, yeah, all right, fair enough. But, Jimmy James, anything you want to throw on the table before we move along? And, plus I got to check back in with Nature Boy to see if he dug up a story, because he had, mentioned that he might bring up some naked news or something, so. Because that's always a fun category for us.
I got an interesting news story, but I just happened to read it in the local Yokel news thing.
Cool. What is it?
Apparently, 100 years ago, or 96 years ago, some dude was really mad about his taxes and dynamite and blew up the school. Killed kids and everything. It's still the biggest mass, whatever, killing at a school.
No kidding. And what part of Michigan was that?
Somewhere probably, near Detroit, but back then, you got to keep in mind it was farmland.
Ah, okay. Okay, so the underdeveloped outskirts of Detroit kind of area back 100 years ago. Huh. Was not aware of that.
Well, they were farms. I wasn't either, and I live here. And I was reading the thing, and it said that the guy started out, he was mad that they switched from the one-room schoolhouses to, like, one central school. So then he ran for the Board of Education, promising to lower taxes. I guess the taxes went from $12 to $18, and, well, he went a little, he went a lot crazy.
Well, it does happen. I mean, you turn around and you give somebody a 33% increase in their taxes, whatever it is, right? I mean, because that $12 to $18, that's what it is. Actually, no, that's a 50%. You take 50% of the original number and add it on. So that would be like, you know, you were getting charged $100, now it's $150. You know, exponentially larger and larger, right?
Yeah, that is a lot more, I guess, looking at it from there, you know, how much more money the dollar was worth more back then. Oh, and what was another fascinating thing is at the end, I don't know if this guy actually originated this saying. He actually made a plaque and put it on his farmhouse, the fence. Oh, and he blew up his farmhouse, too. And it said, criminals are not born, they are made. And they took a picture of that thing. I wonder, was that saying around before that? Because, I mean, I've definitely heard that a lot.
Well, it's interesting because it echoes exactly what BP was talking about earlier, is that, you know, through government bureaucracies and, you know, the creation of all these laws and rules and regulations and everything else, you know, the system generates criminals, you know, de facto criminals. And they get made through circumstance over time. It's not something, you know, most people don't grow up. I mean, unless you're in an area where, you know, the only thing that you see prospering are criminals that are operating openly, right? Unless you grow up in that sort of situation, you usually don't grow up saying to yourself, you know, when I get older, I want to run a criminal enterprise. I want to be a criminal. It's not usually the thing people pick. quite frankly. It's the thing that they find themselves in the midst of. And, you know, some people make different decisions. And, yeah, criminals are not born, they're made. That's an interesting quote. I don't know if the guy originated it. I don't know where that originated. That might be something for us to do a little research on. It's always fascinating to find out where some of these, you know, pearls of wisdom actually come from. But, yeah.
Well, that whole story interests me, and I am going to look into it a lot more thoroughly just because I just can't believe I've never heard of this.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of hidden history out there, to be frank with you. There's tons of it. A lot of stuff that's, you know, obscured over time or just lost because it's no longer the thing to discuss or it's not in vogue or whatnot, you know. And, yeah. You can find almost in any area where you are sitting, you the listener, any area where you're sitting, there is very likely some local history that you would find shocking, entertaining, interesting, or enriching one way or another if you learn about it. And quite frankly, there's almost always some established group of people that have actually studied it, collected documents, collected information, and could direct you to a repository of information on local history. So, you know, that's always worthy of study. And you'd be amazed at the things that people are just not aware of. They're living on land sometimes that they don't know the history of. They're living around buildings they don't know the history of. They're living around areas that have had some fascinating things occur, and not just, you know, supernatural or things that are politically significant, so on and so forth. But you might find your own local history very fascinating if you look into it for yourself. That's just my tip for today. But anyway, B. Pete, what else should we go to, or should we check in with Nature Boy and see if he's dug up a piece of naked news?
Yeah, we can check with Nature Boy.
So, Nature Boy, what is it? I'm thinking to myself, you might have been spending all this time digging up a couple of stories for us. You got anything?
I do.
Ah.
I have one from Providence, Rhode Island, to start off with. I'll just read the headlines. Let me put on my glasses here. Rhode Island woman drives for nearly an hour before discovering semi-naked stranger in her SUV. The woman, who was listening to a podcast during her late-night commute to work, was uninjured in the incident.
Hmm. Okay, so she's driving in her SUV. Do we know where the semi-naked person was precisely? I mean, were they in the back seat? Were they in the cargo area? What are we talking about here?
I believe he was in the back seat. Let me look here. He was in the back seat of her SUV, yes.
Wow.
That's where the partially clothed individual was, yes.
It reminds me of the old urban legend, you know, the gas pumper sees somebody and, you know, flags them out of their car to get out of the car, and then tells them, you know, you got somebody laying in your back seat, and they didn't know it. That reminds me of that.
I thought women were, that was the, you know, thing that they pushed around a while back. Always check your back seat before you get in the car. Are they stopped checking?
Oh, situational awareness? Are you kidding me? Nobody does the smart thing there anymore, do they? I mean, it's kind of old-fashioned there, BP, doesn't it?
I guess we can't stigmatize women by, you know, pointing out the fact that they're not checking anymore.
Well, hell, I would tell anybody to watch out. I mean, if there's anybody semi-naked in my backseat hiding, you know, I don't care if it's a dude or, you know, be aware, well, for God's sake.
But if we point out the fact that women aren't checking the backseat anymore, then we're making, you know, we're picking on the victim.
So you're mansplaining again, aren't you?
Ah, jeez, yeah. Somebody's got to.
Sorry, Harlan, were you wanting to mansplain something now?
Yeah, they're too busy worrying about having to pump gas, you know, instead of their husband. You know, that's been like a cow slab on social media on the last 4 or 5 years. Comes up every once in a while, the word that you're the lowest scumbag in the world, you know, if your wife or girlfriend, you know, just so happens has to pump a little gas and you're within 10 miles. You know what I mean? I never could understand what the big deal was about them getting out and pumping, you know, $5 or $10, you know, worth of gas. I mean, I don't know. I missed it. Maybe there's something there that somebody needs enlightening on, but I don't know if you guys saw it, but, you know, I've saw a lot of these posts on and off the last 4 or 5 years, you know, downgrading men because their wife or girlfriend was out pumping gas and they were sitting in the passenger seat of the car. I didn't know that was a problem. You know, I'm almost 45. I just never heard that it was putting women down or slave driving them.
No, I didn't know that either. That's news to me. And you know what? It's even stranger to me because, I grew up in New Jersey, and Jersey's one of the two states in the country that actually has a law against people pumping their own gas. So we actually have what they call attendants at the gas stations. It's all full service in New Jersey. Yeah.
They didn't let the truck stop the last time I was there. That's been several years ago, but you pumped it yourself.
Well, yeah, but see, now at the truck stops, you know why? Really, technically speaking, it wasn't legal to do that either. But they just stopped arguing with these out-of-state truckers because these out-of-state truckers would come in and be pissed off if you spilled, you know, some diesel on their tank. But because I used to work at gas stations, I ran gas stations, and a bunch of my employees were these gas station attendants, and after a while, I said, look, I don't care what the law says. Just let the truck drivers pump their own stuff because you don't want to wind up pissing them off. And if they're, and if a diesel gets spilled or anything else, it's their fault. You know, so you're better off.
Yep.
So, yeah, but technically speaking, Oregon and New Jersey used to be the two states, where there was a law. And almost everything is full service in, Hawaii as well, but it's not a law. It's just a luxury there. But
full service gas station in 20 years.
Well see now down here you would think that that's it's almost unheard of to see a full service gas station, right? You know.
Yeah.
So that's why there's t-shirts, because people have asked me about this. There's a t-shirt, a very popular one out there, that says Jersey girls don't pump their own gas, because they don't, because nobody does in Jersey. That's why. So anyway, New Jersey's a strange place.
Hey, before we get to Nature Boy's other story,
sure.
Just a quick headline I ran across. Fox News laid off their entire investigative unit after this Dominion settlement.
Ooh.
Boom.
Really?
Everybody axed.
Wow.
Yeah, we can take next week when we follow up on Tucker and his journey down the Twitter road. But Nature Boy, didn't you say you had a second naked news story? Hello,
Nature Boy. He might be talking to his mute button.
I did the rookie mistake of talking to my mute button.
There you go. I knew it. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you want me to finish reading that story, and that one came from People, or do you want me just to go to the next story?
Well I'd be curious how far she drove before she realized he was back there. It was on her way to her commute to work.
Yeah, and also, did we ever discover... Well, last other question. Yeah, finish the story, because the last question I have is like, okay, what was his intent? Was he looking to carjack? Was he like just, he crawled in there and fell asleep? What happened? So, yeah, tell us the rest of that story, and then, go right to the next one.
Okay, I'll give you kind of a synopsis. It's from People. A Rhode Island woman endured every female driver's worst nightmare on Sunday. According to Easton, Massachusetts Police Department, the unnamed woman drove 30 miles from Providence to her workplace in Easton on Sunday night without knowing that a semi-naked stranger was asleep in the back of her car.
Wait a minute. Chris, were you anywhere near Easton recently?
Yeah, Easton is actually about 5 minutes from me, so that may have been me in the backseat.
Okay, sorry, I had to do that. I apologize, Nature Boy. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That was funny. The man, identified as Jose Osorio, 21, was partially clothed.
That's my stage name, by the way. Sorry.
There you go.
Wow, how much was that bail, man? And what did the other inmates think when they brought you in?
That's actually his name on Pornhub. But go ahead. Sorry.
I don't kiss and tell.
Jose Osorio, a.k.a. Chris, 21, was partially clothed with a pair of shorts around one leg and a shirt wrapped around the other arm, leaving the rest of his body uncovered. It was apparent to the officers that Osorio was extremely intoxicated, and through an interpreter, they later learned that he had consumed a large amount of alcohol and, of course, marijuana earlier in the evening. At some point during his intoxicated state, Osorio entered the unlocked vehicle and fell asleep. Authorities determined that Osorio was able to climb into the woman's car when she started the engine and then went back inside her house for a brief period of time. So that's how he got in. She was out there, driveway, started up, warm up the engine, went in, made some coffee probably, or got something else, and came back in, and he slid his way in there. So that's pretty much the whole gist of that article.
Wow.
And they only got him for breaking and entering into a vehicle in the nighttime is what it says. So that's what he's charged with.
Okay, fair enough. So what's the next story?
Okay, this one comes from Oregon. Over on the other side of this great nation, naked man broke into two Oregon homes, used hot tub, and no, let me start over. Police: naked man broke into two Oregon homes, used hot tub and shower. A man who was naked allegedly broke into two houses during a crime spree in Oregon early Sunday morning, drinking one homeowner's alcohol and using their !
Okay. So naked. I always find these home invaders that strip down before they go in really fascinating, because we've come across like five or six of these stories now, right? The one was a couple, I think, that broke in, and the woman was naked. Right, in the one story, but it's usually dudes, right? They're just, for one reason or another, get intoxicated and then get naked. Now, was he naked when he broke in, or was he naked just using, I mean, obviously, you take off clothes to get in the hot tub, right? I mean, nobody's going to jump in there fully clothed. But,
what he did is he broke into two homes, and the second one, he went in, used the hot tub, and then they found him, I'm assuming, because I just clicked off the article, naked after he used the shower.
Ah, okay.
And he was pretty drunk and wasted and, you know, might have been on some other substances, but the article didn't say. But, you know, we all know about these crazy naked news stories. Usually there's more than just alcohol involved.
Oh, yeah. And there's always alcohol involved. I mean, it's just the one guy who was driving around was the best, I think, right?
The original one was still the best. Original is still the best naked news story we've had in, 2 years now?
Oh, that guy, the crime spree and banging on the trailers and trying to carjack people and just running all over the place and eventually swimming in it was a river or a stream or something. It's just like, by the way, is he still in jail, BP? Do you know?
He is still in jail. All his charges are still pending. He's been pushed back to, it's supposed to be the end of May, beginning of June is when his cases have been rescheduled.
Excellent. Okay. So we might hear about him toward the end of this month then, if he actually goes to court, right?
I don't know how long they can continue this, though. I know there's a big backlog because of COVID, but you would think a guy with like 50 some odd charges would eventually have to answer for one or two of them. I mean, this has been going on 2 years now.
Well, unless you're Hunter Biden, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, usually if you got a bunch of
we don't know.
Oh, God help us all. So you're still standing by this idea that people are not suffering from a general a psychiatric condition, BP? You think I'm still wrong about using that phrase?
Well, I guess you could call it a psychiatric condition. I mean, people are just going nuts. Yes, I guess. But I don't know. There's a lot of angry people out there, and there's a lot of people, you know, last time we saw something like this brought the Tea Party into existence, and then we saw what happened with that kerfluffle. So I'm just wondering politically when people are going to reach their limit and say enough is enough. It's time people start going to freaking jail for breaking the freaking law. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and where can you go? You know, where are things not more dysfunctional than they are here? We used to have some semblance of stability in this country, but we got nothing left.
Mm. Well, with that in mind, those were the two naked news stories you had there, Nature Boy, right?
Yeah, those were the two stories that I had.
Okay, great. Well, the way I see it is we got enough people on the line, BP, that we should probably let everybody get in a shout-out, and we'll get this thing done in just about 2 hours. So we did go a little over, but we started late because I had a little technical issue at the beginning. No idea what the gremlin was because Chris's show went off without a hitch. And then, I don't know, just something happened. I called BP and nothing was working all of a sudden, so I had to reset everything. So welcome to the world of Microsoft. What do you think, BP? Should we go in order this time or should we go in reverse order? What do you think?
We can go in order. I don't have it written down, to be honest, so I'm at the mercy of my memory, which at my advanced age may be a little faulty at times, but hey, I'm not running for government, so I don't give a damn.
Okay, well, how about this? We'll go at the mercy of whatever order you feel like. How about we don't even have to go in an order? You just pick people the way you want to go, and we'll get them done that way.
Chris was the last one. It was Chris. If we go in reverse order, it's what? Chris, then Harlan, then no.
No, Jimmy James was Jimmy, last.
Jimmy, then Chris, then Harlan, then Nature Boy. Gotcha. All right, Jimmy, you're up. Chris, you're on deck.
All right, everyone, have a good weekend, and everyone try to order a new Ocelli hat. It's available for – you got it ready, right, Chuck?
Yeah, I have a bunch of them in, and any of the shows you want. If you want to get mad with Chris Graves, if you want a Age of Transitions, or you want an Uncle hat, I have one or two of various printings, various colors, different schemes, different logos in some cases, all over the map. So whichever one you like, absolutely, and I'll add other stuff to the swag as well. Now, Jimmy, I already have one picked out for you. It still hasn't arrived. But when it does, I'll get it out to you right away. For everybody else, yeah, if you drop in $50 or more, I will make a swag bag that's appropriate for what it is you drop in. How about that? So you'll get a hat plus. Appreciate that, Jimmy. Thank you for that. And any other things you want to add to your shout out?
That's it. I hope everyone listening comes back for Sunday night shows. Those are on, Chuck?
We will have the shows this Sunday, and we might be adding a news show on Sunday nights as well, but that's still in development. But Aaron and Uncle should be back this week. Last week, Uncle fell sick right before showtime, so Aaron decided not to go live, but he should be live this week, and so will Uncle at the very least. So I'm going to put Jimmy James on hold, and I guess next was Chris in order, right?
Yep.
Well, I just want to say, if you want to check out some more weirdness, like the town of Easton, where, you know, I got caught in the back seat there, that actually is within the infamous Bridgewater Triangle, which I've been doing a bunch of shows about lately. I talked all about that last night as Guard Goldsmith's guest on the Liberty Conspiracy for about 2 hours. We talked all about that. And also, tomorrow, another conspiring with Mr. Cooper, and hopefully I'm going to have Dana joining us. She's a great researcher that I just had on Digging Chris Graves a couple days ago, and we talked some pretty serious subjects like the McMartin preschool incident, the Presidio, Colonel Michael Aquino, the Franklin scandal, a lot of very heavy subjects, and I really respect her research and the way she goes about it. She's just going by Dana on Twitter right now, so. And another John Lennon assassination episode with Peter Seacosh on Sunday on Don't Take Our Word for It. And, yeah, just donate if you can to jelly.com and check out the cool swag. And thanks for having me on.
There you go. And also check out the link tree for Chris Graves, because it seems like every day of the week, Chris has a podcast rolling out of somewhere. 3 days a week, we got Get Mad, but you got Digging.
Did four today alone.
Yeah, you did four shows today. What'd you do? You did started your day with New Prisoners, right?
New Prisoners for 3.5 hours, just about. And then Digging with Chris Graves, which was my newest friend, Ron from New England, who I'm hoping to get on to this network at some point on one of the shows. He's known with the tinfoil hat Sam Tripoli crowd. He has the Wicked Planet, which apparently he was telling me the other day that my appearance on that last week is up to 3,000 downloads. So I was pretty happy to hear about that. So I had that. And then, of course, Mr. Tom Cooper and the emotional ending to that. It was unexpected. That was at 6 earlier. And I love all you guys.
Right. So, and we'll have that out tomorrow, the Get Mad with Chris Graves Tom Cooper interview. But, yeah, check out Chris's link tree for all that stuff, because he's out. He's got videos. He's got audio podcasts.
He's got Substack now, too, by the way, Chuck, finally.
Oh, Substack also. Okay. Is that on your link tree yet?
That's right. Yep.
Okay, great. So, yeah, you go to Chris's link tree and you can follow everything. That's
all the links to all the research that I've been bugging people with for the last, 2 years. All the OCD-inspired links will all be in one place, and I won't be bothering anyone with it anymore.
There you go. He's now consolidated, folks. All right. So with that in mind, Harlan is gone, so we got Nature Boy left, right?
Yes.
So, Nature Boy, your final word for this week.
Well, I just love coming on the Friday night call-in show. I mean, it's a great way to finish up a week that can sometimes be chaotic, and it makes it just a little bit better. I want to just let everybody know about the Rockfin channel. We're starting to really build it and get traction. We're up to over 2,700 followers so far, and that's growing. We've got Nico House, which was just on here, which was off the charts. If you know who he is, he's an interesting character. We had Charlie Robinson. We even have some off-the-air babble, probably a good 15 minutes as an extra bonus program on there. And as always, if you can, times are tough, but pitch in. Anybody out there, every little bit helps. If not, share the show. Talk to the show. Let your friends know about it, so we can keep this gym going year after year after year. And at that, just want to say I hope everybody had a good week, and have a good weekend.
And a quick shout out to Nico House. I love his Twitter handle. Even though it's at Real Nico House on Twitter, if you go to that on Twitter, it says Joe Biden hates black people. So I love that. And I was totally speechless during that show at one point, because we started talking about Don Lemon. And, I don't talk about people's blackness, okay? It's not my thing to do. But Nico certainly can. And he decided to explain, exactly how Don Lemon really shouldn't be pulling the black card on people like he does. Very funny stuff that went on during that show. And a little education on Brazil, by the way, toward the end, which people might enjoy, because that's where Nico is hanging out these days. So, it's a thing, man. Plus, he's got a new podcast coming out soon. So one thing's for sure is that when Nico speaks, it's definitely bold. So I enjoyed that episode. And if you go over to Rockfin, that's live over there now. Not live, but you can go and watch it now live. And see the video interaction there. And I bet you can pick the spots where I was like, wow, I don't believe he just said that during the Nico House show. Plus the what should have been off-air banter that I said, the hell with it, let's publish it over on Rockfin. It's only over there. Anyway, appreciate it. Thank you, Nature Boy, for all you do. And what do we have coming up on Wednesday, by the way?
Give me a second here. Let me pull up the calendar. I don't think Sugar Tits is. I think we got her booked for,
I actually have a guest. Yes. I actually have a guest named Sugar Tits. That's what she calls herself, apparently. I'm going to get into that with her.
No, we have Sugar Tits. Sugar Tits is coming up next Wednesday. After that, it's the Occult Priestess. And then on June 7th, we got a real interesting cat, Jeffrey Wilson, that I met when I was on Union of the Unwanted. And he's got a podcast called The Conspiracy Farm. So a little bit of high strangeness here or there. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a good few weeks we got going on, man.
Yeah, definitely. Plus many other guests coming through. And you know that that spreadsheet that I sent you? You know there's 99 people have applied to be guests on the show.
Oh, really?
99. Yeah,
I'm going to be booking this week. So that's when I'll pull that stuff up. But that's what my plan is, to go through that. And
look through it.
Hopefully you can find some interesting people.
Yeah, I've only been able to like pick up like four or five people off there so far that I've been able to have decent interactions with. Mike Wallach came from that list, though. But 99 people, exactly as last look, actually applied wannabe guests on the show. So
yeah.
I was like, wow.
I want to reach out to Joel Gilbert. He's a filmmaker. He has some really interesting films. I think he's out there doing a publicity tour or something. I saw him on a actually, he was on Donald Jeffries, I believe, just about a week or so ago.
Okay.
So, yeah.
No, hey, look, I'm always interested in that. Like I said, the Mike Wallach thing was interesting because he talked about the virology and the scams connected to COVID regarding, you know, the literal identification of disease and everything like that. Really interesting documentary film. If you missed that earlier in the week, go look at the podcast feed and go get that episode as well. Anyways.
I've been watching that documentary. I'm watching the first episode. I guess it's for free. It was a website. Yep. So, you know, they give you a taste of it for free. And it's pretty good. It's interesting. Might not agree with everything on there, but it's very well made, very well produced, and some interesting viewpoints, man. And they make a compelling argument.
Definitely. Something to be considered for sure in the equation of that. Look, no matter who you are, if you are willing to question anything, I mean, you've got questions about what has gone on here regarding the great scam of COVID. And I'm willing to call it a scam at this point. I don't believe it was a total fake where there was absolutely nothing to it. You know, I'm not one of these people that says nobody got sick, but I am one of these people who says, what the hell happened here? You know, and I don't think we needed to wreck our entire country, our psychology, hundreds and hundreds of businesses. I don't think all that was necessary. But you know what? If it was nothing more than a scam, then you need to start asking more and more questions. And I think Wallach's film is an interesting place to look to ask some of those questions, because he asks a lot of heavy questions and asks some really intelligent people who should know the answers. Anyways, interesting stuff there. And that just leaves you, B. Pete, for a shout-out.
To compound on what you just discussed, I was coming across headlines today. There is I believe it is either a Danish or a Swedish. Let me look. Southern Denmark, University of Southern Denmark, study announces messenger RNA or mRNA shot for COVID had absolutely no impact on reducing the overall mortality rate related to the virus. A new study has confirmed. Ta-da! They're all handed a bill of goods. We can get into that later.
Yeah, we're gonna.
But I just like to. I appreciate everybody calling in tonight. As usual, we've made it through another week. Looking forward to next week. And other than that, all I can say is y'all have a good week. We'll see you next Friday.
There you go. And again, if you make donations to the network, I have the hats coming, and there'll be other swag that you'll get along with it if you make a $50 or more donation to the network, okay? Just that simple, Ocelli.com. There's a donate tab at the top. You can find it. PayPal is acceptable. You want to find another way, contact me. We'll do that too. Anyway, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, remember, I'm merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect. Good night.